It's wonderful to know that though we forget, the Lord never does. He knows every one of His children and all of their needs. But it is a blessing, isn't it, to be able to come together and even share those in a congregation of people that do believe and look to the Lord. I know when I have brethren praying for me, I can feel those prayers, and they mean so very much. And the Lord does answer His children's cries and calls. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we know that's the prayer of faith, of one who's looking to the Lord. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So when we call out upon the Lord, He will supply to us not what we want, but what we need. We're so very, very thankful about that. This morning, if I have a text, it's the same as the text I used yesterday at our conference meeting, and I'd like to call your attention to it for a little while this morning, if the Lord would be with us. This passage of Scripture has been on my mind and continues to be, and it's found in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. And I'd like to read the entirety of the passage beginning at verse 1. We'll read down through verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 2. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I certainly encourage you to follow along. It's beautiful to be able to read together God's Word. And it also helps us, I believe, in the preaching of the gospel and the hearing of the gospel to see the actual words that have been recorded by our Lord and given to us by inspiration of God, and to be able to look at them, and they are, God's Word is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. They're just great, great blessings God has given us. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that where as they speak of you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Think about coming this way this morning, and after trying to make an effort yesterday of speaking on really the first two verses of this particular text, thought what a responsibility and what a duty and what a task in a sense it is for us to do what's taught us to do in this very first verse. And yet it's absolutely important and necessary and needy, if we're going to enjoy the milk of the Word this morning, that we do what the Bible says. It's one thing to preach it. It's one thing to talk about it and tell God's children about it, and that's important for us to know and to understand what it is we ought to do. But it's also another thing for us to do what He's taught us. He said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. So the things that are written in God's Word is something we should be, the very best of our ability, trying to do. And that first verse said, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." We just briefly tried to cover just a few of what those things were. And when you think about what it says here about malice and guile and hypocrisy and envies and evil speakings, we see that just throughout our lives, if we're honest about ourselves. I think about hypocrisy in it of itself, presenting ourselves to one another as something that we really aren't, or trying to be something we really aren't. That's to be hypocritical. I always get reminded of what Brother Stanley Cato preached in one of the sermons when he was among us, that folks always told him that the reason they didn't like to go to church is because the church was just full of hypocrites. He said he wanted that person to know that hypocrites weren't only just in the church, that there were hypocrites on the outside of the church as well as... he didn't disagree that there were times that certainly we gather and we have so much hypocrisy about us. Let's be honest today. Let's be honest before Almighty God. God knows our hearts, doesn't He? He knows what's going on within us. And even try as we might to be rid and free of all of that, there's still enough of that in there that if it were not for the grace of God, we'd be in trouble this morning. We just would not be able in any way whatsoever to do what this scripture has told us to do. We want to lay aside all malice. That's any desire to see harm come to someone or doing harm because we mean to do it, purposely doing it. I mentioned yesterday we sometimes hurt people without knowing it, and that's a bad thing. But sometimes we hurt people knowingly and do it with intent, and that's malice. Now, if we didn't have any of that, the Bible would tell us you didn't. It wouldn't tell us, well, you won't have any of that. But God's little children have that in their nature. The old man is full of malice. And what we want to do as much as we can today is lay aside as much of that, all of that as we can. And all guile. I don't want to trick anybody. I want my words to be honest. Don't want to be tricking. And hypocrisy. Want to stand before others and be who I am. Now, not in a boastful, pride way. You know, sometimes we excuse our sin and say, well, that's just me. We'll do something wrong and say, that's just who I am. That's we say it in the Utz family, that's the Utz in us. And that is right, that is the Utz in us. But that's a problem. It's the Utz, and I'm part shepherd and part other now. You know, you look up your family tree. I found that pretty soon I found out I was kin to just about everybody in Madison County, which every name, if you start talking about anybody from over in Madison, you're talking about some of my kin. And there's plenty to talk about. You know, there's plenty wrong with that. And the nature that we have, what we have inherited as men and women, we know from the Scripture that in and of ourselves, we are what? We're sinful. We are corrupt. We are the children of wrath, even as others. There's none of us good, no, not one. There's none of us who are worthy of any praise or any merit from God. There's none of us who've done right. We've all gone astray. There is none good, no, not one. And there is no room for any of us feeling like we're a little better than anyone else today. If anything at all, it's by the grace of God we are what we are, and we want to acknowledge that. I want to acknowledge that this morning as I stand before you, and I feel we acknowledge that with one another. But more importantly, before Almighty God, who knows our hearts, we confess today, Lord, if it's not by Thy grace and by Thy blood and Thy work that Thou hast done for me, it's not at all for me. I have no hope. Now, that won't make you popular to share that in this world, because men do not want to hear that. Why? Because they're full of malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all manner of evil speakings. But God's little children have been made different. You've been given a heart to know things that you could not know according to nature. You've been given an understanding in the Spirit to understand that you're a sinner. I preach that and you say amen. And the reason you say amen is because I know you know what the Lord has taught you, that I am exactly the person you described. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. We all say that same worthy, faithful acceptation that we should say that as well. I'm the chief of sinners. But the good news is, though I'm the chief of sinners, Jesus came to save sinners, right? Of whom I am chief. Isn't that good news? That He came to save sinners. If He just came to save good people, I'd be in trouble. As a matter of fact, good people wouldn't need any salvation. It isn't the whole that need the doctor and the physician. It's the sick. It's the poor that need the riches that come from Jesus. It's the afflicted that need to be healed by Jesus. It's those who are in need, those who are mourning that need to be comforted. It's those who are hungry that need to be fed. And the only one who can cause you to be hungry and mourning and afflicted and poor and miserable and blind and really you're that way, but you'll never see yourself that way outside of the grace and the work of Almighty God. And it takes the Lord to awaken you to that. Otherwise, you disallow Jesus. That means you don't acknowledge Him. You don't acknowledge your need of Him. You don't have a desire for Him. You don't have a love for Him. You don't see a reason to sing His praises. You don't see any reason to come to Him because you feel okay in and of yourself. But I tell you, when the Lord opens you up to how bad off you are, you realize, what a friend I have in Jesus, and oh, what great need I have of Him. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this whole world has to afford. Because He is, if you have Him, you're richer than the richest of the rich. If you have Him, you have the wisdom that can come down, that comes down from above. If you have Him, it's because He had you and a covenant of grace even before the very foundation of the world. And in Him and by Him and through Him, you live and you move and you have your being. And oh, how good it is today just to get together and praise Him and thank Him for how good He has been to us. But you can't do that unless you lay aside that old man. That old man, that old woman gets in our way every single day. And He says, wherefore, laying aside all these, He says, as newborn babes, and that's those that have been born of the Spirit of God, up in verse 23 of the first chapter of 1 Peter, He says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That is those that are the newborn babes. They have to be born again. And if you've been born again, if God has worked that work of grace in your heart by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, that's not the Bible that we preach. That's not the written Word. It's the living Word that was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. He created the natural world, and every little born-again child of God is made by Him. They hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Isn't it wonderful to know when Jesus speaks, they answer. When He makes a call, they don't refuse that call. It's an effectual call. It's effective. It's sent from heaven. It's a long-distance holy call that God gives and calls His children and time appointed of God, given by Almighty God, the Lord comes and speaks life to those that are dead in trespasses and in sins. And until God gives you that, all of the things of the preaching and the teaching and the writing of God's Word will be meaningless to you. It will be a Savior you hear about that you'll disallow because you don't feel you have the need of Him. But when the Lord has dealt with your heart, as a newborn babe, you desire the sincere milk of the Word. We need something today, don't we? I need something. Somebody said, well, I come to church. I come to church because I need something. And somebody thinks about church as a place that you come and ought to And what is the purpose of coming? We come out of need. Why are we here? Number one, we're here to honor and praise the Lord because that's what He's called us to do. And that's the activity. But I need to hear from Him. I need to feed from His Word. I need the preacher to be blessed to preach in power and in demonstration of the Spirit like a little baby. You let a little baby go without food, and you'll know pretty soon he's hungry because he'll let everybody in the house know. He'll wake mama up. He'll wake daddy up. He'll wake the whole house up to let them know he's hungry and he needs nourishment. But God's little children ought to be coming to the house of God in just that way. When we lay aside all the malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, it's talking about putting off the old man from Ephesians 4, putting on the new man. Then we come as newborn babes and we're desiring something, and that is to be fed from the Scripture. That's why when the preacher preaches, he ought to preach the Word. He ought to teach what's in God's Word. He ought to feed God's little lamb. Jesus told Peter, He said, "Feed my lambs and feed my sheep." All of the ministry is called to preach the Word and feed the children of God whom the Lord has made us overseers, whereas we share with them the truth. And what is it we're to preach? We're to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified to the glory and the honor and the praise of the Lord. And He says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby." We want to be growing. We want to be growing in grace and in knowledge of the truth. Our appetite ought to be getting more and more, greater and greater. We ought to be wanting to come more. We ought to be wanting to learn more. One thing I found about the Bible, the more you read it, the more you want to read it. The more you study it, the more you want to study. The more you learn, the more you want to know. And the opposite happens too. If we forsake the assembling of ourselves together and we stay away, the less we hear and the less we learn, then the more we become calloused and cold, and the harder it is for us to lay aside all those things, the weights and the sin which does so easily beset us. And the harder our race becomes here in this world. Listen, God's little children have been called to a wonderful, blessed life here in this world in looking to Jesus and leaning upon Him day in and day out. He's given us His Word to guide us along the way. He's given us His promises of one day being with Him in heaven and immortal glory, and also His promises of every single day of our life being with us as we face life and its troubles. God's little children are in good hands and in good shape and ought to be at peace. But we so often forget who it is that is our friend. So what do we need? To come back and be reminded. Come back and be told again the things that we have forgotten and make them more real and near and dear to us. He says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is, isn't He? Oh, who's going to taste? Are the dead going to taste? No. Got to be made alive first. Have to be born first before you can taste. Somebody said, "Taste and live." No. You have to live before you can taste. And the life doesn't come because you tasted. The life doesn't come because you reached out to Him. The life comes because He reached down to you. And where did He reach you? He reached you in the depths of the depravity of your heart and mind, where you had no desire or will or ability to reach up to Him. And there He awakened you from that dead state and quickened you. "And ye who were dead in trespasses and in sins, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And then He gives you life in Christ, and He gives you the hunger and the appetite. Now, if you've been given the hunger and the appetite, what are you supposed to do? That's when you taste. Oh, today we come to taste. When we sang those hymns, we tasted that the Lord was good. When we greeted one another, we tasted that the Lord is good. When we encourage one another about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord in praying for one another, we tasted that the Lord is good. When we see the Lord come shining through in our lights and life and delivery, we have so many deliverances that He's given us. We've tasted that the Lord is good. I ask you, have you tasted that the Lord is good? And He said, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is good," He said, "if that's the case, lay aside all these things." That old man, that old woman, we have to lay him and her aside and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone? When we come to Jesus, we come to a living stone. A living stone. One that's alive. Jesus is not only alive, He's the source of life. He's the author of our life. He's the one who gives life. We don't come to Him to get life. That would take life to get life. We are dead. So He comes to us while we are dead and makes us alive. And then once we've been made alive, we come to Him for the sustenance of our life so that He might supply unto us everything that we stand in need of. Jesus is our all in all. Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus is our the strength of our life. He's the health of our life. He's the wisdom of our life. He is the light of the world. And we have no ability outside of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. And He's a stone. Listen, He's a solid foundation. The words of Jesus, you can build your life on the words of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and what He has said. And when the storms of life come, when the winds blow and the rain falls and the troubles of life hit you from side to side, there is a solid foundation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your house will stand. And if it's built on anything else at all, there's going to be a great fall. And that fall is sure. Brethren, He says, we come to Him as unto a living stone. And to think about how it is we come. Some people think you just turn your will on to come. You just make your own self want to come. The Bible says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up again at the last day. It's a great blessing to be able to come to the Lord. If you have a want to come to Him, that came from God. If you have the ability to come to Him, that came to God. That came from God. Even your desire to serve God came from God. And those blessings came to God's little children as a result of the new birth. He says, to who coming as unto a living stone? Disallowed indeed of men. That word disallowed means they did not recognize Jesus to be who He was. They did not recognize Him to be the Son of God. Did men not recognizing Jesus to be the Son of God make Him not the Son of God? Absolutely not, because He was the Son of God. He was just disallowed of men. Do people not seeing Jesus as the Savior make Him not the Savior today? Absolutely not. He is the Savior of His people. Does anything that men say against Jesus, and there are many who speak all kinds of things, make all kinds of charges falsely against Him. They did when He walked here on the face of the earth. They even claimed that which He was doing was by the power of the devil. They blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. Does any of that make it true because men say it? No. We know this. Let God be true and every man a liar. I want you to know, just because He was disallowed of men doesn't mean we ought not trust Him. Men will disallow Him. Men will make light of Him. Men will make fun of you for believing in Him. Men will make fun of you for praying to Him. Men will say He's just one way. They will discredit Him. Listen, the Bible doesn't say Jesus is just one way. The Bible says He is the way, the truth, and the life. When they stood there and the apostles stood there and were asked about the man in the Acts of the Apostles that was healed in Acts chapter 4, they said, you asked me what power this man was healed, and they said, let us be plain about this, that by the name and the name of Jesus, that there is salvation in no other name other than the name of Jesus. And this is how this man stands here whole. I want you to know, if there's anything good or right in me or in you, it's by this man that we stand whole. It's by this man that we're able to do it. And it would be hypocritical for me and hypocritical for you to take one credit for that which Jesus alone has done. Listen, the reason I love the Lord today, if I indeed love Him, is because He first loved me. The reason I called on Him is because He called down to me. The reason I want to serve Him is because He stirred that in my heart. It's He who worked in me, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And all the glory and all the honor and all the praise belongs to the Lord. He said, we come unto Him as a living stone. That means He's our protector. You know, if you got a stone wall around you, you're in pretty good shape. The Lord is our foundation. The Lord is our wall. The Lord is our covering. The Lord is our shelter. The Lord is our everything. And we look to Him and come to Him for that. If you're in trouble today, you have a friend in Jesus. If He's awakened you to understand that He is the Lord, you come to Him and you'll find the help that you need in the time of trouble. He's a sure help. Has He not been that for you? And if He has, I say we ought to be here today to say, thank Thee, Lord. And we certainly ought to be here to tell one another, you keep looking to the Lord. What a mess we would have been as a church with all the things we've mentioned if we were all by ourselves. What a mess we'd be in. What a mess you'd be in today. But I'll tell you, you had a Lord who loved you in covenant even before the foundation of the world, that chose you, that sent His only begotten Son for you. The Spirit came and quickened you and made you aware of that and has worked that in your heart. And you have been made a new creature. You are obligated to love Him and try the very best you can to live in a way to honor and glorify and praise Him. We come unto Him as a living stone. He's disallowed indeed of men, but here's what's important. He was chosen of God. You read over in the book of Revelation when John was given that wonderful vision there in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, and he sees Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he hears, is there anyone worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And they looked among in heaven and in earth among men, and there was none worthy. And then there was a cry that was made. One of the elders says, weep not, John, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was able to come and take the book and open the seals thereof. What did that mean? He came and fulfilled the will of the Father to every jot and to every tittle. He did what the Father gave Him to do. He was the one that was chosen of God to be the Savior. Jesus came as our Savior. He lived as our Savior. He died as our Savior. He came forth from the grave as our Savior. And He today is our Savior. And by the way, He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was chosen of God. And it says, and precious. And that word precious, if something's precious to you, it's very valuable. You got some things in your life that are precious. They're valuable. You are not going to part with them. You know, you watch some of those shows on television where they're bringing one of those things that looks like a piece of junk and they'll start giving the price on it, and somebody will start saying this is worth this much or that much, and it's amazing how much some things are supposedly worth. I'm telling you what, disallowed of men was the greatest, the pearl of great price, the one that was above all. His price was far above rubies or silver or gold. The blood of Jesus, which we were redeemed with, was far above any silver or gold. As he says here, we were purchased with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There's been nothing in this world as valuable and as precious as Jesus Christ. He is... if you have Jesus, if He has you, what a blessing that is. He says, chosen of God and precious. He says, ye also as lively stones. God's little children are lively stones. That means you've been made alive. You've been made new creatures. You were dead, but now you're alive. And you're alive for a purpose. You're built up a spiritual house. That's what we have today here in the church as God's little children gather. And we present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. We're individually gathered together in a body. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. But you as lively stones are built up into a place of praise and worship by Almighty God. You're built up a spiritual house. By the way, it was a man who built this house. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somebody would say that was Peter, but the Bible says the foundation of the church is not Peter. The foundation of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said unto Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He said, you're a little stone, Peter, but upon this rock, the rock of revealed truth, the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, he built his church. He's the chief cornerstone. This church is established on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if it had been established on Peter, it would have been out of existence a long time ago. It wasn't built on Peter. It's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. But God's little children then make up his church as he calls them out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light. They're brought in. They're like hewn stones. They're cut and shaped just the right way. And they're put in their place. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God gives you blessings and talents and gifts that are a benefit to the church. And it's important that God's little children are representing themselves and are coming and become a part. As he says here, you're built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. That means we're here today to give him praise. We're to thank him. I want to thank him. I want to feel it too. I don't want to just say it. I want to feel thankful. I want to be able to express my thanksgiving. I want to feel his manifest presence. You can't manufacture that. That has to come from the Lord. He says, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And those spiritual sacrifices are when we sit together and we sing hymns that honor and praise the Lord. We make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We speak unto ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. And it's like a sweet-smelling savor that goes up into the throne of grace. God's little children also, when they're able to bow down on their knees together and pray and look to the Lord, it's like sweet incense that the Lord is pleased with, the prayers of his saints. He says, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And I love to think about how our sacrifices are acceptable to God. When you and I pray, how is it that our prayers are heard? It's through the blood of Jesus that our prayers are heard. When we sing, how is it that our singing is acceptable unto the Lord? It's through the blood of Jesus that they're acceptable unto the Lord. When I call upon the Lord, how is it that the Lord can hear me? As a sinner, I have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and my expressions carried by the Lord Jesus Christ to a throne of grace where He hears our calls and our cries. He says, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. There's your chief cornerstone. He's elect, chosen of God, and he's precious. He's so valuable. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, which means he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You'll never be ashamed if you trusted in the Lord. You'll be ashamed when you trust in, sometimes if you trust in men, most of the time, if you trust in men, you'll soon be ashamed that you ever trusted in them. But you'll never be ashamed of trusting in the Lord. He will not fail you. He cannot fail you. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is faithful. And we are so thankful. Great is his faithfulness. He cannot and he will not fail his children. He says, unto you therefore which believe. Now, who is he precious to? To those who believe. Do you believe today? If you believe, it's because he's given you grace and faith to be enabled to believe, and he is precious to you. It grieves my heart to hear men speak about our Savior in such derogatory ways or to take his name in vain. But if it were not for the grace of God, I wouldn't have any problem with that at all. As a matter of fact, I'd be among them. And as I look back on my life, there are things that I've said that I wish had never come out of my lips. And it grieves me to think of how I've spoken about him and spoken about his people. But thanks be to God, his grace is sufficient. As Paul said, he was a blasphemer and a persecutor, but he obtained mercy. And I'm thankful that God is a God who is rich in mercy, and he's shown that same mercy unto you and to me. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow. I said to you today, if it were not for the grace of God, you and I would disallow him. We would hear about the cross, and rather than being a blessing to us, it would be a stumbling block. We would hear the preaching of the gospel, and rather than having a love for it and an appetite for it, we would hate it. He says, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Just because men disallow it, notice this, it didn't cease the work of Almighty God. God's work is not based on men's acceptance or rejection. It's based on the work of Almighty God. God doeth it, and men should fear before Him. And He says, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Listen, the Lord did not make men sin. Man sinned and transgressed God's law. When man fell into a state of sin and death, it wasn't God's fault. It's what man had done. God was just and right to leave us, and would have been just and right to leave us all just in that state. And there were some that He did leave in that state, and that was His right to do that. But there were many, thanks be to God, that He saw fit. As He said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And He chose them, not based on any good that they had done, anything that they would have done to serve God in the future or in the past, but according to His own good pleasure and according to His own will, He chose His people. And if you are His people, you were chosen in covenant before the very foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, as you read that, very clearly tells us that there was a people chosen of God. Those people have redemption and forgiveness of sins, and they've been made accepted in the Beloved in what Jesus has done for them. And we would have been in the other had it not been for God's choice. Listen, God's choice is what made the difference. He says, but ye are a chosen generation. There's a different people, a chosen generation. This is God's elect family. Oh, who are they? They're chosen. Ephesians 1, as we mention it a little bit, we'll turn there and read a portion of that scripture in Ephesians. He said in verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And He did this according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. You are a chosen generation. That word generation really talks about us being kin. We have a kinship in the Lord. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus, our Lord, is our husband. He is our elder brother. He is the everlasting Father. We are in the family of God. We have God as our Father. We have Jesus as our Savior. We have the Holy Spirit that fills our hearts. And we have a kinship in Christ. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood means that we are both kings and priests unto God. Priests to offer up spiritual sacrifice, and kings in the sense that we've been made more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We have, in a sense, been made a king over sin. Not that we can rule sin completely out, but sin doesn't have the dominion in our lives that it did at one time. We have the ability, through the grace of Almighty God and the gift of Almighty God, to resist sin and to turn from it and walk in the ways of righteousness by and through the grace of God. We cannot do that in and of ourselves, but in the Lord we've been made kings of that. Even Satan, who had the power over us and we were under his complete control, we have been, in a sense, given a place and a position in the Lord through the power of Almighty God to be able to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. We've been made in a position of authority over him and to that respect. That doesn't mean he doesn't bother you and trouble you. Listen, he'll sit right down with you in a church bench and rob you of the joys that you could have. But if you resist the devil, what does the Bible say? He will flee from you. And that's an authority we did not have, that we're given as God's little children. And then the world, we can get afraid of this world. Listen, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. and you have no reason to fear this world, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And brethren, we have been made more than conquerors through Him that loved us. What a great promise that is. And we are a priesthood. That's our purpose, is to give praise and honor unto the Lord. He says you are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. He's called you out, made you separate. He made you different. Have you noticed God's children are different? They're not like other people. They think different. I know there's that old flesh that we all have to contend with that doesn't seem so different, but God's little children can't go take their fill of this world and have the joy and the peace in this world that they had as men of this world. Once God has worked in their heart, they can go out and take their fill of sin, but they're going to get sick from it. They're not going to be happy in that. And the work of grace in your heart, it'll grieve your heart. Because of what God has done in your heart. He says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. Not just an ornery, hard-headed people. Not peculiar in that sense. It's not anything peculiar or strange to be ornery and hard-headed. That's to be a man or a woman of this world. But a purchased people. You've been made different by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus. And why are we a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, and a peculiar people? And it says that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's a reason that we have been given this great, great blessing. That's what we should be doing. He said, which in times past were not a people. Now, God's people have always been His people. They've always belonged to Him, even before the foundation of the world. There's never going to be one added to that number, nor one taken from that number. But we were not a people in the sense that regeneration at one time had not taken place in our life. And as those who were not regenerated, we didn't know the things of God and we weren't concerned about them. And once God regenerated us, we were born of the Spirit of God. Though we were not a people, we now become, in a manifest sense, the people of God, which had not obtained mercy when we were in an unregenerate state, but now have obtained mercy, being born of the Spirit of God. And then verse 11 says, dearly beloved, those that are loved of God, He says, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Notice that God's little children can go into fleshly lusts, but they don't make us happy. It doesn't make us healthy. It makes us sick. See, what makes the world happy will make God's little children sick. And what makes God's little children happy will make the world sick. That's why as God's little children, we're to live to honor and glorify the Lord and abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. That is, your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, and the world will do that, they may by your good works which they shall behold, God's little children should let their light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He says, and in doing that, you glorify God in the day of visitation. When God deals with others of God's little children, have you ever been out in the world and have you been out in the world at a time maybe in your life and you didn't understand? I know a lot of God's children were brought to church at a very young age, and at one time it wasn't the place they wanted to go. It was the place they had to go. And they were made to go because mom and daddy said, you're going. And if they could have got away from it, they would have. But then along the way, because God's children, along the way, God saw fit to quicken them and let them see what mama saw. Let them see what daddy saw. Let them understand. And now what they love so much that I could not understand, now I can see it. And then you think about those times mama and daddy were enjoying it, and you have a whole different view of that. He said this. He says that they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Have you had a day of visitation where now you can look back at mama and daddy and look back at those others who at one time you didn't understand, but you can see so much and just thank God for those experiences that the Lord allowed you to have. Listen, in a nutshell, the Lord's been so good to us. We have every reason to be praising Him and honoring Him and thanking Him. And if there's any good about us at all, it didn't come out of us. It came from Him. And may He be given all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And may we come to Him, not only just one time, but come every day as unto a living stone. Recognize your Savior has everything that you stand in need of. You need to know which way to go. You look to Jesus. He'll guide you. You need help for a surgery. You look to Jesus. He'll be there. He's never left you yet. He won't. You look to Him for the help that you need, the wisdom that you need, the strength that you need. And He has promised to be with us every single day. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those are the promises of God. God's little children, we don't disallow that. The world says that's just foolishness, but we know different, don't we? You know why? Because you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. You have been made to see what the world cannot see. Though the world disallows it, may we never disallow it. May we always acknowledge Him. May we be about that spiritual house that gives Him honor and praise and glory, and continue to do that. As Brother Terry said, may the light so shine, continue to shine. May our candlestick be here until the Lord comes again. And that may be sooner than any of us think. What a day that will be. As the writer in Scripture said, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. I love you, my brother. God bless you. Appreciate your prayer. 276.